Welcome, everyone, to the Workforce Navigator podcast. I'm Steve McDonald, your host. Today, we have a super interesting guest, Renu Menezes. And Renu, you are at ONI right now. You've been a chief people officer. You've led multiple global HR organizations. You've got a bachelor's in business. You have led public and private organizations. So you've got a lot to say. And we're going to talk today specifically about how culture drives financial success and growth. And you've got an interesting point of view on growth, which we're going to get into. But if you wouldn't mind just taking the tidbits that I threw out there about your background and explaining a little bit more.
I'd love to. A lot of times people ask folks, why do they get into the people function or HR? And a lot of times the answer is you have a passion for seeing how people do in an organization and how they can succeed in an organization. And all of that actually ties into how do people affect an organization's success? And it is a bit of give and take. It's success of helping everybody within the organization as well as the organization reach its goals. When you talk about growth, I do look at growth as laterally as well as vertically. And I think a lot of times we're in a situation where the market changes. There's always changes in the market. And we have to come up as chief people officers with ideas on how to motivate, how to reach goals as effectively and efficiently as possible through all the people in the organization. Therefore, if we have a tough market, and we have our internal people we can't keep hiring, and we want to grow our organization to be even stronger and better, we've got to grow our internal folks. And that can be done, not just saying, okay, here's a career ladder and you can move up the career ladder, but what are opportunities across the organizations for you to be just even better at what you do or understand the organization across the business to help us reach our business goals? That's sort of a bit about how we can hit and grow revenue in an organization.
Well, I love that because here's what I took away from that. And tell me if this is not right. But if we think about overall growth of the organization, we need to be thinking about the growth of our internal greatest resource, our greatest cost basis for the business, but our greatest resource, which is our people. And if we can focus on their growth, then automatically we're going to be focusing on the growth of the organization.
100% true. 100% true. When you talk about cost, it can make up 70% of an organization's cost.
So that's a big responsibility. You're wielding the largest, most impactful, most costly resource in the organization. I think HR professionals don't always get credit for how much impact and influence on an organization that you have. There's an area that I want to talk about here on culture, and I'm going to set it up with this. There was a chief revenue officer and his chief marketing officer that I interviewed about 6 months ago, and they literally together attributed 50% of the success of the organization to company culture. This is the CRO and the CMO.
I love to hear that.
Yes. I'd love to hear your idea on what is company culture? Why is it so important to the business and how does it impact the growth of the business?
Okay. So a lot of what we've heard about culture, and we know it, we talk about your culture is your set of values and the values that you use or connect with every day. So we always in the business world talk about how you have to live those values. The values have to connect to a statement. Like if you're in a project team and the project team hit a milestone on time, how do we hit that milestone on time? We have values like together we grow, we make a difference, and we are innovative. But we're innovative in a simple way. We don't make it too complicated. These are some values that people could have. Can we use those values in daily life? And that takes us back to the question you asked. What is culture and how can it help an organization thrive? So if our culture helps teams think about Here's a transition, Steve. You hire people, especially if you hire people from academia. They have worked in an environment. They're not always working in team environments. A PhD will collaborate on a paper, for example. And there is still the thought of, am I the first author or the last author on that paper? But I've collaborated on that paper. And there's some team effort there. But in general, it's about what have I learned? What have I achieved? Look at my thesis. Look at my research. When you come into the workforce, if we use that example and bring it into the workforce, it's not about you anymore. It's about you and your team, the people that you work with, the peers, your cross-functional connections. Yes. And that's where values come into play. How are we going to connect as individuals? And how do we hold each other accountable to achieve these goals together? And the values and the culture bring people together.
So we bring a lot to the work environment. These team values, the connection, the collaborations. We also bring a lot of stuff from our personal lives to work. When we're having a bad day, we bring that to work. Yeah. When we have turmoil and strife, and how much is culture or just the role of the HR professionals in an organization to help address that as part of the culture, that we're here to support not only the team collaborations that you're talking about, which is extraordinarily important, but the aspects of just everything we need to make sure that people are here, they're engaged, they're supported. How much is that part of the culture?
That's huge, because that part is also holding the company accountable. We all make up the company. We're all employees to the organization. Even the CEO is accountable to shareholders. And so that is where it's that give and take. What are we providing for our employees as well as what are our expectations from them? When you talk about feeling that there's a psychological safety of, when I spoke about project teams and cross-functional, are we creating an environment where people are comfortable to bring their idea to the table? That's super important. Sometimes when we have speed, we want to accomplish it and get to a goal or a milestone very quickly. It's easy to just hear the loudest person in the room, because it's that moment we're collaborating, but this person has these strong ideas, but there could be other ideas in that room. And even though we are moving quickly, we need to make sure we bring that to the table. Talking about that, there are different cultures, backgrounds. I have a perspective about difference in individuals, and it stems from just going to one school versus another, coming from a small town versus a city. Cultural difference is not always being from another country, speaking another language. It's the simple things as well that differentiate us. We have a different point of view from where we are. So I was brought up in Taiwan and Hong Kong, and I came to the United States to get my degrees, and then I started working here. I have a different perspective from somebody else that could be from Taiwan or Hong Kong, could have a different background to me, from someone that, when I had been in Indiana and met some wonderful families, they have different perspectives than I do. But all of the perspectives, when you bring it together, create something unique. And that's the same thing as what happens in an organization when you bring a team together. So creating an environment where you are interested. So I'm going to also state being interested in what an individual has to say. So you're not just asking the question, I don't want to miss something that somebody wants to say, but I'm interested in understanding that perspective. And I institute leadership and management training in most of my organizations. And the reason I like to do that, the reason I like to create an internal program, is very much in relationship to what you just asked, Steve. It's how can we empower our managers to engage employees by asking them more about, what are your thoughts on this? Why do you feel that way? How would you problem solve this differently from your peer?
So I want to ask where this now goes, because you gave me a unique perspective there. Every company has their own unique point of view on the market, their own unique point of view on the products, the services, the experiences that they're creating for their customers, and each has a unique culture. I think you just really articulated that in a very good way. How does that unique culture, as a part of that ecosystem of unique products and services and experiences, like how does that unique culture, how does that connect through the organization's growth, through retention, through efficiencies, through the things that we have to think about to grow a business?
So there's a couple of things. I know we spoke briefly about going from I to we, because you can't accomplish in any organization, no one individual can accomplish a full goal where there's a cross-functioning team and there's a team involved and you need different people's input in order to accomplish that particular milestone. We touched on how culture is those values that we hold each other accountable for, but it also creates an environment where we were a family. We have similar cultural norms, so we're building those cultural norms within the organization. We're all unique, and that should be taken away. But we have similar norms that we follow. So you build this community that can contribute to improved performance and revenue growth because we want to see each other succeed. And that is the nifty part of where organizations are trending right now. You can read it in articles. You'll hear it across different platforms. Empathy, having an understanding. You want to be productive. You want to be efficient, effective. But there's this push on empathy and understanding where somebody coming from and why that opinion. What that means, it's like building a bond. You build a bond, somebody else's success is going to make you feel good. So then that team work comes into play. When you asked about my view on growth, and it's not always upward, it's breadth, especially when it's a tighter market. You want to use the people within your organization to help you succeed. So subject matter experts within your organization could do a lunch and learn, could help a partner across a different department know more about what they're working on so that the way they impact each other is better. That's all, I feel, influenced by culture. Training. When I think about, in our world, med device, life science, biotech, when you have a commercial team, the commercial team has to be very knowledgeable about the products we're building. Where does that knowledge come from? It comes from the internal teams, from our R&D teams, from the scientists that have worked closely with the product. They will train up and get to be excellent with the customer on the product because they understand it so much better.
So here's what I love. Is on the drawing board, this sounds fantastic. But I know there are challenges along the way to implement. Challenges and solutions that as a chief people officer and looking across global organizations, in order to implement, create this kind of a culture, especially across a global organization or even a one location company, what are some of the biggest challenges that you faced and the solutions in how you've addressed them?
Steve, that's an awesome question. And you are 100% correct. Culture evolves. And it also changes as a company evolves. I know when I've started with each of the organizations I've led, or even when I've built organizations, from the start of where we identify our values to be, to let's say a couple of years later, we transform. An example is when an R&D life science company then gets further into the clinic and you hire clinicians. And then when you get through proof of concept and you're doing your clinical trials and you're moving from phase one, phase two into phase three, and you're building your commercial organization and your sales and marketing, you're getting that up and running, the culture of the organization shifts. Those values, even though there's an inherent aspect that exists with the people that are there, you are shifting focus. So at O&I, we had a very R&D focused culture and it was beautiful. It's still there, but we have moved it to be more of a commercial focused culture. So it's more customer focused and our values have transitioned into a new set of values that definitely talk about innovation, research, learning, but also how do we impact the customer? What is a value to us about customers succeeding? It evolves And it's also a two-way street. So when I talk about opportunities and I talk about, I love moving, let's say, a biologist who happens to be really good at data science. We've actually put her in a role of being a scrum master or a software team that is accomplishing a particular goal right now. It's something out of her realm, but she's taken it on in a positive, and she's very interested in it and ready to take it on. And I talked to her just yesterday, and she shared how much she's enjoying it and how much she's learned. Where I'm going to say it's a two-way street is I've also had situations in organizations where I've said, here's an opportunity with another leader talking to a team member and saying, we believe in you and we'd like to give you this opportunity. Please try it out. Tell us what you feel. And I've had individuals turn around and say, you know what? That's more work than I want. I think I want a higher salary to do that. Otherwise, it's not worth my time. It is a bit of give and take. So as an organization, we need to be responsible and continue to offer great opportunities. But as individuals and employees in an organization, we have to be willing to take it on and look at it as a learning opportunity. And when we succeed, of course, an organization should recognize that. So I'm going to throw that into the mix when you talk about challenges.
Here's a challenge I want to ask you about, because I had it described to me this way. No company owns their culture. You can manage your culture. People own the culture. And so you put a big goal on the table, which was move from a research-driven culture to a more commercial, customer-focused culture, which the reasons there are obvious. But as the managers, what does it take to make that shift when you don't own the culture, but you're help managing, you're helping mold it along the way? Who are the people internally? What are the things that need to be done? Who are the stakeholders? How do you even start on something as big as that?
What we did is we started with asking our leadership team, what did they see as the culture now that we've shifted strategy, et cetera? And then it was asking our employees. So we sent out a survey and asking our employees how they see the organization now when we've introduce these goals and introduce this focus. We've become more commercially focused, the way we target and the milestones we're trying to achieve. So we surveyed the whole organization. Then what I did is put together a focus group and survey, got their input as well. We came up with a draft of values, taking in the overall population's input, our leadership team's input, our focus group input, and we sent that out to the whole organization again to get feedback. And then we brought that feedback back into the leadership team. So there's input from everyone in the organization, everyone that participated and put forth what they felt, everybody's thoughts in the focus group that was also charged with talking to the employee base, and then developed our values that way. When you talk about not owning values, my gosh, I really resonate with that, because every individual, and we state this, I state it often, it's not my responsibility. I'm accountable for it. You're accountable for it. Everyone is accountable for the values. We have to believe in them. And hopefully when we all gave our input to these values, we are believing in them. And I'm very happy to say that for O&I, we have LinkedIn posts of individuals within the organization sharing what resonates with them about our value, how that impacts their world or how they look at it. So it is a matter of, are we living our values? Do we believe in it? And we're accountable for it. So you're 100% correct. Nobody owns it. Together, make these values real.
What I'm taking away is the learning of what you're saying there is, the culture, the decision on the culture is not senior leadership. You might have a goal, like we have goals in product development, we have goals in marketing, we have goals in sales. So we have goal to shift from here to here. But how to do that, that's incumbent upon the organization itself, the people inside. So you did a masterful job of bringing the people in, letting everybody put their thumbprint onto what they felt the culture was. So that by the time that it came out, it was already out to a certain extent. And that people are then so proud of it, they're posting onto LinkedIn. You allowed the voice of the people to drive how to articulate, how to create a culture that they would want to be a part of. Is that a good way to think about this?
I think that's great. I think we have to keep listening, though, as an organization, because we are growing. We are growing in strength, in processes, in communication. That's what you see whenever you see an organization going through change and growth and a change in focus. And we have to be ready to be nimble. And we're going to have to review our values again. But I am really pleased with the experiences I've had with the organizations I've been in. People are terrific. They really are. You talk about how individuals can come into work and have different issues that are going on at home. And how do you make sure that they're still productive and contributing and comfortable? What's amazing about people is everything we do can impact somebody else. And generally, people come in with the attitude of, I want to make an impact for myself, my team, and what we can do as an organization, generally. But even if you don't go as far to the organization, I want to do well for myself and my team. If we can get there, that automatically does well for the organization. That's the culture.
What I was going to ask is, because we love to hear stories about how what we're talking about, what we're planning, like how did it actually make an impact? So what other kind of a story of the impact of focusing on other people's impact on others, creating a culture that leads to growth in so many different ways. Out of all the organizations that you've been with and in your travels, what's a good story about how we can understand this impact?
Oh, wow. A couple of examples would be individuals coming to the table with interest in doing more or speaking well of their team, and it's not just about themselves. But a specific story, gosh, right now I'm in the heart of things. And there is some stories that are pretty nifty about individuals, like I talked about the biologist that's being a scrum master. So we have posts on our LinkedIn page of customers appreciating some of our team members. And a lot of that is built around the strength of the people supporting our sales and FAS teams out. And they out with our customers. We have stories where if we look internally, there's so many individual stories, and putting that on a podcast, I don't know how in depth to go. So we really focused our goals, individual goals. The hardest part for an organization is how does each individual resonate with the company targets and milestones? So the way we did our cascading of goals is, and we armed our leadership team and managers to really focus on how to connect it so that it improves engagement. And it's easy in the R&D space or manufacturing, if you're thinking of units, production, but it's and sales when you look at numbers and revenue and bookings. But it's harder when it's G&A, where it's finance, HR, quality, you can put numbers to and assess it to the milestones. But how each department feels they can impact, that's where we're starting to see change and evolution here. So the story is fairly broad, Steve. I haven't picked individuals necessarily. I've talked about how we've moved individuals across groups, or we've asked somebody to step up and take a lead role on a particular project, or we bring in a technical expert or subject matter expert into an array they haven't been in so they can teach. But there are specific stories of individuals, and the fact that they're enjoying it and they're being successful is where I think there's a success to that story.
I love it. In fact, what I want to do is I want to ask you probably the most important question that I've asked yet. And that is, out of everything that we've talked about here, if there was one thing that you wanted the audience to take away, what would that one thing be?
Oh, wow. All right. Your people are your best avenue to success. I know people have heard this before, but it is true. Just like when you spoke about somebody you had interviewed earlier on talking about how individuals affect the bottom line.
Yes.
If they're productive, if they're engaged, we see a difference. So 100% agree with all of that. Engaging your team, giving them opportunities, but also hold them accountable for it. Because when you're held accountable, when you are given the responsibility and the ownership, that means more than, oh, here's something you can work on for us. So make it meaningful. And that there are many ways to show appreciation. I know we talk about extrinsic and intrinsic values. Look into the intrinsic values. When you talk about culture and people, get to know your people to understand what those intrinsic values are. It's easy to focus on external, extrinsic values, money, something of a tangible reward. But the thank yous and the appreciation across the organization in all hands, it does go a long way.
Gosh, there was a woman that was, she was head of sales for a very large organization. She said, I write thank you notes to my team. I actually have paper and pen, and I write thank you notes. It says, you would not believe. They go home, they'll share it, they'll show it to their spouse. Just that intrinsic, you're a valued part of this team, of this company. We all want to be recognized. From the time we're five, we're like, mommy, daddy, look, I can jump on one leg. Look at me. We want to be recognized for what we can accomplish. And that's so that when you talk about those intrinsic motivations, it makes so much sense. I think we could go on for a long time, but there's going to be people that have questions. And would it be appropriate if we maybe gave a link to your LinkedIn profile, that if anybody had questions for you, they could get a hold of you?
I think that's fair. That should be
fantastic. Okay. Renew, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all of your insights. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. It was a pleasure.